Welcome to episode 3 of And for Other Things. I'm Andy Aplikowski. Today is January 30th, 2018. I want to start off with a little housekeeping. Thanks everyone for the well wishes and encouragement on this new endeavor. I did get set up with iTunes, so you can now download and listen on the go. If demand requires, I'll look into Google Play or other apps out there. Shoot me a message, let me know what you're looking for, and I'll take it under advisement. And for Other Things is intended to educate and inform by exploring angles not often covered in depth by others. Some see them as too inside baseball, others exclude them because it doesn't fit their narrative. I'll even probably dabble in things outside of the political sandbox from time to time, hence the name And for Other Things. My goal is to keep episodes under 30 minutes and not ramble on or have to come up with some goofy or weird recurring segment to fill time. I'm also going to keep this podcast family friendly. While I can't promise this is going to be Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, I will keep it FCC approved, if not better, on the use of words. I can also promise that you won't have to endure crude sexual humor that you hear on radio, TV, or other podcasts. Podcasts are also very useful for candidates. You can record a show and share the link with voters to listen to at their convenience. You can blast it out by email and share it on social media. I look forward to doing these episodes with candidates for office. With endorsing conventions coming up, it should be a very exciting time. If you or someone you know is running for office and would like to come on And for Other Things, you can find my contact information on the website andforotherthings.com. Now let's get on to content for this episode. There were special election primaries last night in SD54 and HD23B. These open seats were created by the resignations of Democrat Senator Danny Schoen and Republican Representative Tony Cornish. The two had been accused of sexual misconduct and resigned late last year. Former State Rep Denny McNamara won the SD54 primary last night with 85%, and CD1 GOP Chair Jeremy Wunson won the HD23 race with 55%. Both were the endorsed Republican candidates. But let's hang on here, because this is where it gets a bit more interesting. Most people don't know how important the DFL is taking this Senate seat. The Senate was just a one-seat majority for the Republicans at 34-33. Now with Senator Schoen's resignation, that made it 34-32 for the Republicans. So if the GOP can pick up this DFL seat, it would be huge. It would give Republicans a two-seat majority at 35-32 and prevent Governor Dayton and DFL leader Tom Bach from possibly causing a deadlock in the Senate. How could they do this? Why, due to Senator Fischbach being forced to fill the vacant lieutenant governor spot. Yes, the very one created by U.S. Senator Al Franken's own sexual misconduct behavior. Dayton appointed his lieutenant governor, Tina Smith, to fill Franken's vacancy, and that forced Senator Fischbach to ascend to that role, because she is the last elected president of the Minnesota Senate, and our state constitution requires whoever is in that role to fill a vacant lieutenant governor position. Republicans had offered a deal with Dayton to elect a Democrat senator temporarily so they could ascend to the role of lieutenant governor so he didn't have a Republican in his administration. After all, Dayton is a radical leftist who supports abortion. Senator Fischbach is a strong conservative who supports the right to life. Democrats refused, and I believe it was entirely to get rid of a pro-life woman senator that they could never beat in an election because she represents her district so well. Bach has been plotting out scenarios for how to retake the Senate majority ever since he was blindsided by voters in the 2016 election, and he's on record saying he thinks he can do it before the 2020 elections. Rumor has it that, Bach was so confident that he was going to maintain the majority in November of 2016, he'd even upgraded his office at the posh Senate palace he had built right before the election. It's kind of funny. Anyways, back to this. At 34-33 in the Senate, any Republican could switch parties or refuse to support the Republican agenda or policy and give power to the DFL. Basically, some of the senators were, I mean, Osmick would say this, every Republican had a veto. This opportunity now, due to Franken's scandal, may be one of Bach's best chances to switch control of the Senate before the governor election. And let's talk about this. Republicans contend that she can do both jobs and doesn't have to leave the Senate, since the LG has no, lieutenant governor has no official duty. It's really just a succession plan if the governor if the governor's seat is vacated for some reason. And I don't think that's going to happen. So for the most part, Senator Fischbach will be forced by Democrats to give up her Senate seat for nothing. This would trigger a special election in SD 13 at some point. Now, Bach and the DFL have arranged a lawsuit from a constituent of Fischbach's challenging her ability to maintain both the Senate seat and the lieutenant governor's position. And honestly, I think they're likely to win that. There was a constitutional change a few years ago that pretty specifically addresses a legislator not holding any other office in the state government except postal or notary. So I just don't see the Republicans winning that. This is the same Supreme Court that just said the legislature can now spend money on something that it wasn't allotted for. So previously that had been considered scripture in the state. So who knows? Maybe the Republicans can win. But if they don't, let's explore this scenario. If the DFL wins that lawsuit, Fischbach has to leave the Senate, giving us the potential for a 33-33 tie if Carla Bigham wins. That's why this SD 54 seat is so important. It actually would grow the GOP majority to 35 seats. So even if you lose Fischbach, you still have a 34-32 majority. But if Bigham wins, then control comes down to another special election. We'd be at 33-33 with a special election. That's the flip of the coin, if you will. And it's likely to be during session so that Dayton and Bach can try to get their $1.5 billion bonding bill to help Democrats on the ballot in November. SD 13 is a conservative district just west of St. Cloud in CD6, but anything can happen on a special election. We just saw that across the border in Wisconsin. I've put links up to the maps for these districts, so if you're interested where they are, what cities are in them, you can find that. Knowing where these are kind of changes how things work. I mean, some of these rural areas, they're tough to win these races. It's not as easy as a suburban or an exurban area. But let's jump back to the importance of these primaries. One of the state reps in my district, Senate District, Abigail Whalen, is retiring after this term. So a few candidates are out working the field here to replace her. A few of them have relayed to me how disappointed so many people here are that I lost. I won't go into details, but let's just say it's really nice for me to see both the state party and the Senate caucus take the special primaries, the special election, so seriously this time, especially the primary. Republicans have new leaders in the Senate and at the state party, and I think that clearly made a difference. There were phone banks and door-knocking waves, and from what I've heard, there was an operation, like a real political organization has, that was interested in defending an endorsed candidate and winning, not just outsourcing and doing some social media ads. Doing the work. It was great. It was great to see someone besides me learn something from my election loss, but I digress. The big thing is the battle isn't over. These were just the primaries. There is still a special election. We really need to work come up with a better term for these special elections. It's hard to explain that when you're out door knocking. You sound like an idiot. Special election. Anyways, it's in 2 weeks. A normal election day is the first Tuesday after a Monday in a month. For some reason, Governor Dayton made it a Monday. The more I try to understand why he picked that date, the more my head hurts. And to confuse matters even more, and more importantly, confuse voters even more, we have precinct caucuses next Tuesday. So there is a big risk of voters showing up at the polls on Tuesday, February 13th. That will be too late. The polls will close for both elections on Monday, February 12th. And we just had Bette Midler and Chelsea Hamburger tweet out support for Democrats in Senate District 54, Carla Bingham. And they tagged Emily's List in this. That's a sign that Emily's List is really supportive of Bigham. And it appears that Bigham isn't the only one getting support from Emily's List. Melissa Wagner in the 23B race against Munson is listed on the endorsement page for Emily's List as well. Now, Emily's List is a national abortion PAC that funnels tens of millions of dollars to Democrats who support their abortion agenda. Now, the Munson district is a rural area of Minnesota, very conservative, very pro-life. I'm not quite sure about the 54 race, how things play out there. It's a little more suburban, but, you know, I think Emily's List and Planned Parenthood, their agenda is pretty clear. They want only candidates that support abortion to be elected. And they have very, very deep pockets. And we saw this in recent special elections across the country. The left is willing to pour truckloads of money and busloads of bodies into these races. the media is portraying these as some backlash against Trump when it really was just a ground game of who did better. Unforced errors on either side or just who had more money can easily flip these. This is going to put our new state party leadership to the test, these primaries. I think if you look at the numbers, there's some scenarios that, you know, there might be some Democrat crossover voting. And, you know, you never know. Just because you win the primary doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win the general election. The Democrats may have not been working yet for this. And they're gearing up with absentee and early voting that they're already casting their votes for the Democrat. So I encourage everybody to consider donating and volunteering to Jeremy and Denny. I do have links to their pages on my show page, so go check that out. I do worry with caucus in a week. I see so much time and energy being spent by staffers and operatives and activists on Facebook battling out for the governor's endorsement and straw poll coming next week that's energy that could be put to use collecting data, voter ID, or doing get out the vote calls in these races. The infighting and the same old gotcha stuff is one of the reasons I think we don't win statewide anymore as Republicans. Leaders think keeping power is more important. Office holders think the world revolves around them and none of the other races matter. And activists think either a lawn sign or a Facebook comment with over 100 comments is how you win an election. Meanwhile, the left is working hard. They have a plan. And they work their plan long before the candidates are selected. And that's one of the things we're having a BPOU, we're going to be electing a new chair in our BPOU because the current one is moving out of the district. And some people have asked me to consider running for it, and I kind of am. And some people think it's insane because once you've gotten out of being a BPOU chair, it's the best day of your life. You never have to go back. It's sort of like having a boat. The best day you buy one is the greatest day as a boat owner is the day you buy it and the day you sell it, they say. Same goes for BPOU chairs. But as I'm thinking about it, one of the things why would I want to do this? And one of them is I want to make sure that people, Republican activists, consider the end of an election just as important as the beginning. Of when you pick the candidates doesn't mean it ends right there. That we carry through until the actual general election goes, the polls close. So winning elections is about work, resources, and getting more votes than the other guy or gal. While I congratulate both Jeremy and Denny on their primary wins and all those of you who were involved at the party and the caucuses and volunteers across the state that did this, congratulations. But the actual election is in just 2 weeks. Everything has to continue. This is just the first hurdle. I encourage you all to consider donating your time and treasure to Jeremy and Denny. I've put links on to their campaign sites on the show page as well as links to all the other info sourced during the show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes and stay tuned for more episodes. I'm working on setting up candidate interviews as we speak. Go to andforotherthings.com and click on the contact page. Thank you again for listening to And for Other Things, a stream of consciousness by Andy Applikowski. We'll talk again soon.